the epistle for this feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church, he who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all his fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, Pontius Pilate wants to know in this very interesting interview of our Lord, "Are you a king?" Our Lord answers, "I am. I am a king." Our Lord is a king. He is our king. He's the King of Kings. We have a king. Every single one of us has a king who rules over us, to whom we are subject. But this creates a problem for us, we who are children of the modern world. We don't like kings anymore. We know that after the sin of Adam, you have the advent of fallen man. After the coming of our Lord, you have redeemed man. And now today, you have a new creation, revolutionary man, the man who does not want to subject himself to any authority whatsoever. Revolutionary man has a favorite sport. And this is cutting the heads off of kings, leveling of all authority, destroying all authority, so that everyone is on the same level. All chiefs and no Indians. Everyone's a king today, and so nobody's a king. There is one rule for revolutionary man, and that is, "I will not serve. I will not serve any authority. I am the only authority that I will acknowledge." And this is the atmosphere that we breathe since the revolutions of our time. It's our age where man has deified himself. Today at Vespers, we will sing a hymn to Christ the King, and we will include in this hymn two stanzas that were eliminated with the new Feast of Christ the King for the Novus Ordo Missal. Two stanzas that explicitly acknowledge our Lord's reign over all nations and all peoples. And we are going to sing those stanzas. One of them says the following: "The wicked mob cries out, 'We do not wish Christ to rule over us,' while we hail thee joyfully as supreme King of all. We have, we faithful, we Catholic faithful, we have the revolution in our blood. But at the same time, we are Catholics. So there's this struggle within us. So today, we must strive to do exactly what this hymn says. We must strive to hail our Lord as King joyfully. Be so glad that we have Christ as our King. How do we do that? How do we foster this love to be subjected to our Lord Jesus Christ as King? Well, we somehow have to put away this atmosphere of our modern world, detoxify our souls in their spirit of revolutionary rebellion. And we can do this partly by hating the revolution, by not wanting the spirit of the revolution in us. One of the motivations to hate the revolution is that it gives us terrible leaders. If you have a situation where everybody is born, as it were, trained to hate authority, then it produces a type of leader where the leader has to always be extremely weak, very flexible in his principles. Effectively, the only reason someone want to be a leader is in order to serve his own purposes. And one of the main reasons why we have such a crisis in leadership today is because we live in a revolutionary world where the leader precisely has to be a democratic leader. He's always has to kowtow to the will of the mob, whatever the mob wants. So meanwhile, our nature, our human nature, we pine after good leaders. God has made us such that we want someone to direct us. From the moment of our childhood, we want good parents. We want our parents to tell us what to do and indicate to us how to live our lives. And even when we grow up as adults, we want good leaders above us who are managing the common good. It gives us a certain security. It also gives us a certain purpose and direction. It gives us unity. And so we are not happy with revolutionary leaders. I don't think anybody's happy with their leaders today. We look at our politicians, our president, our senators, our representatives, our governors, our mayors, and we do not find many good leaders. We just find these self-serving sycophants who are always talking and not doing much. As well in the church, unfortunately, with our pope, our bishops, our priests, we find very few good leaders, very few churchmen who are actually standing up for our Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling the role that God has given them in their position of authority. And it's very difficult for us to do what we should as Catholics, what we're always taught to do. And this is that even if a leader is not a good leader, we still must pay respect to his office. But it becomes harder and harder for us to pay respect to a man fulfilling an office to the degree that he's not doing his role, that he's not doing his job. It becomes really hard. Hopefully we have a supernatural attitude and we still respect the office, respect the man who holds the office. We don't follow the bad things that they do. But in the end, while our heart, because we're modern men, while our heart is in the revolution, yet we find it very difficult to like the children of the revolution. And so a desire awakens in our revolutionary heart to have a true leader, someone who has all the qualities to step forward, someone who will tell us what we need to do, who will not bend under pressure, someone who is noble, is dignified, someone who does not compromise when his principles are tested, someone who does not take bribes, who is never corrupted by his own power, someone who never uses his position for his own advantage, but is always working for the good of others. And my dear faithful, what a consolation it is for us that we have all of this and much, much more in Christ our King, who is God, who is goodness itself, who is truth itself. This should be a great source of joy for us, especially in our modern lives, to remember, who is my King? To what party do I belong? Who is my leader in my life? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our Lord will always stand by the truth, and there is no separation in our Lord between what he is, his authority, what he is meant to do as a leader. And also, he is not an authority holding position in some sort of secular democracy. He is a king. And you know, there's a huge difference between a king and someone who's a politician, who's holding a job. Our politicians today, they get elected to office, right? And they hold their office for maybe 4 years or 6 years or whatever. We know they get paid, and we know that they know they're going to be out of office pretty soon. They want to do whatever is possible to keep themselves in office. They say whatever they need to say, and so on. And then another party comes in after a few times. They have some policies. Then another party comes in. They overturn everything. And you have this constant churn in your country. Policies are changing all the time. You don't know what's going to happen next. There's no stability. There's no peace. There's all this conflict. Republicans, Democrats, always fighting. But this is not the way it is with a king. A king is not a job. To be a king is not a job. It's a life. It's a vocation. It's a state of being. Our Lord is king not because he's a member of a political party, but because he's the creator of the world, because he's our redeemer. And he will never lose these things. He will always be king. Forever. How beautiful it is that in our Mass is always telling us this. How many times during the Mass, you know, if you were to count, how many times do we say that our Lord reigns forever? We say, Per Dominum Nostrum Jesum Christum. Vitecum vivit regnat, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever. This is our leader, our Lord. His political party will never fall out of power. He will always have that power. He will always be in charge. He will always be directing us. So we have a perfect leader who has all power and reigns forever. This should be a great source of joy for us, a great source of comfort for us in all the difficulties of our lives. Another reason why we get frustrated with leaders, especially today, is they seem to be all talk and no action. They're always talking about doing things, but nothing ever seems to happen. As you know, society always seems to be declining and going down. And politicians are promising they're going to turn things around. It's going to be new. Just elect me and everything's going to be better. But things seem to be getting worse. This is not the way it is with our Lord. Talk is cheap. We know that a good leader is not about a lot of talking. It's much more about doing effective things. What has our Lord, our King, done for us? You know that he took on our own human nature. He came down to this world, born of an Immaculate Virgin Mother. And then he lived a hidden life for 30 years, saying nothing, giving us an example of how we were to live our life. Then when he started his public life, he worked thousands of miracles, healing the sick, proving to us that he has the power to do whatever it takes to bring our happiness, that he is goodness. Then, of course, he was hated for his goodness and brought before Pontius Pilate, falsely accused, willingly laid down his life for us so that he might redeem us. And in this one action, this giving of his life for us on the cross, more good has come to the world than anything that had ever been done or ever will be done. This is the great benefit that we receive, dear faithful, here at Mass, as often as we come to this Mass, that we have the fruits of our Lord's crucifixion, of his death on the cross, applied to our souls. And then we come to the communion rail, we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and God willing, at that moment, we really want to be subject to him. We really want to place ourselves under his influence so that that goodness of that act may exercise itself on us in this present moment, in October of 2023. What a blessed thing it is for us to have access to our King, to touch our King, to receive him, to be directed by him through the devout reception of the Most Blessed Sacrament. There's one last thing that I feel I must point out about the reign of our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, something that the liturgy emphasizes over and over, and you especially see in Vespers tonight, if you can make it back here through the snow. And this is the fact that our Lord is a Rex Pacificus. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. And really, Pacificus means he is the peace-making King. The only way that peace can come to this world is through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is true of Israel. That is true of the Muslim world. That is true of the Catholic world. Everybody worried about World War III? What you need to prevent World War III is to be subject to Christ the King. There is no other formula for peace in this world. And the reason is this. God has made this world, and he's made it a certain way, and it's not going to change. He's the creator. He's in charge. And to the degree that you are against God, you are in conflict with reality as such. There's going to be conflict, rebellion that cannot be resolved. There's going to be strife to the degree that men do not submit themselves to God. Because we can't change reality. We can't make it whatever we want. And our Lord comes, and he brings a submission to the order, to the way God has made us. He reconciles all things through his grace, through the Most Blessed Sacrament, through his influence. This is why he is the bringer of peace and why he is the only one. He is the only one that can truly bring any lasting peace to this world. So my dear faithful, what a joy it should be for us. What a joy to have our Lord as our King, especially to the degree that we're stressed out by what's going on in the world, what's going on in our life. We must foster the peace that he brings in our individual souls, among our families, and even in our nation. In Pius XI's encyclical on Christ the King, Quas Primas, it was written in 1925, he goes through all the reasons for which our Lord is King. But there's one last reason that he mentions that I'm trying to emphasize in this sermon today, that we must want to foster in our own hearts that our Lord is King of Hearts. There's an attractiveness about our Lord, something very charming about our Lord. He draws us to him. He is irresistible to the degree that we know him, that we give ourselves over to him. He says that our Lord possesses the hearts of all those who come in contact with him by reason of his charity, which exceeds all knowledge, and his mercy and kindness, which draw all men to him. For never has it been known, nor will it ever be, that a man be loved so much and so universally as Jesus Christ. So let us today try to put aside as far as possible for us today, revolutionary man, to put on redeemed man, to really embrace this fact that we have a King over us, our Lord Jesus Christ, the most perfect leader, the most perfect ruler, and to truly love him in return for his great benefits that he's given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.